Welcome to the Parkway Life Church podcast. Thank you for taking time to let God's Word impact you. You're always encouraged to know God is touching lives through this ministry. Please visit parkwaylife.com to let us know. You can also hit the Giving tab to sow into the ministry that you are experiencing. Now, prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Your Bibles tonight. I know sometimes we bring those, sometimes we pull them up on our phones or whatever. Man, you can open up to Psalm 27. Man, Psalm 27. Tonight I'm going to be preaching, teaching from this chapter. I love this ship up here. I got to come one night to the crash camp. Man, that was incredible evening that I got to sit in on. All of you that were here that were part of that, God bless you for your efforts and building this ship. One of the best stages that I've ever seen in my life. Just great, incredible. So it's good to see y'all are still using it. Man. Life is tough sometimes. In fact, I've been talking with a lot of people lately that life is, one person told me, life's kicking me pretty hard right now. We try to wear masks, we try to act like everything's okay, but sometimes we go through some challenging times in our life. We experience some times when we need some help and we need to say, my help cometh from the Lord, and we need that help that can only come from the Lord. And so just a couple of weeks ago, I started praying about that. And I talked with one person that her husband had got fired from their job and given 2 weeks' pay and said, that's all we can do for you. And that person began to talk to me and tell me, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't know where we're going to go. Different family members coming, different people in the church come to me and saying, man, we're just fighting these fights. And one guy fighting addictions in his life, trying to overcome those addictions, and saying, I never meant to be in this place. And so I went to the church there in Liberty, where I'm now a campus pastor. And I went there that day, and I just started walking. And I just started praying, and I'm like, God, I need some words from you for people's lives. I don't want just, not that we just preach any old thing, but you know what I'm saying? But I said, today, God, I want a word from you for people that I minister to and speak to. And so I did the thing that we do sometimes, or if you've never done it, it's a great thing to do. I got the book of Psalms. And I just started walking back and forth, and I just started reading the book of Psalm out loud. And there's nothing like doing that in your life if you've never done that. If you're having a bad day, you open up the book of Psalm and you just start reading it out loud, because there's something about the spoken word that is powerful. You can read it in silent, but there's something about speaking it out. And I began to go through several chapters, and I read through Psalm, and I just walked back and forth. And if somebody would have walked in, they would have thought maybe I was crazy at first, or they realized what I was doing. But when I got to Psalm 27, and I read through the chapter of Psalm 27, it just spoke something to my heart. And God said, this is a message that can help people directly from my word. And so I want to talk to you tonight from the Psalm of David, Psalm 27. I just want to work through this chapter over the next 40 minutes or so. Look at Psalm 27 and 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord. The Lord, we read it, but we don't really apply it to our life. The Lord is the strength of my life. not somebody else that I can go to. I love friends. Your pastor is one of my greatest friends that I can call to, and I can open up to him. But he can't really strengthen my life. But the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? What a verse. David is talking here. David saw that the Lord was the light of the path that led to salvation. We cannot know God's light until we know darkness without Him. So sometimes He lets us go through dark times to understand what it is to have the Lord being a light unto our path, and letting the Lord be light unto our salvation. So don't curse the darkness all the time. It'll make you appreciate the light. We can only know God's strength if we know our weakness, because we have weak times. David was in a time of extreme vulnerability. But as David saw the goodness of God, as David saw the mercy of God and the love of God, fear began to leave him. And it's a wonderful thing when fear begins to dissipate and leave our life, because it's being changed and it's being displaced by the presence of God. And I believe that we can get where we can experience that on a daily basis. I believe that we can experience that every time fear comes into our life, we can begin to seek God as David did, and we can begin to experience His presence and His joy come into our life, and fear has to go, and fear has to leave. The first enemy that God defeats is the fear of the enemy. Then verses 2 and 3, look at them here, Psalm 27. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh. Some of you feel like life's eating you up sometimes. David was just honest in this psalm. He said, when the enemy and my foes come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. Love that verse. In this, I'm going to be confident. What I have confidence in, it's this right here. That when war rises up against me, there is a God, there is a host that should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. God wants us to get to the place where our heart will not fear when enemies come against us. When the enemies come attacking us, we can say, I shall not fear in this. Because I want you to look at this statement here. Salvation is in God, not ourselves or our circumstances. How many times have you prayed? How many times have I prayed? God, change my circumstance. And then God doesn't change the circumstance, and we want to go, He's not a prayer answering God. When He's saying, I want you to experience my sovereignty in the midst of your circumstance, so that you can speak and you can encourage somebody else that goes through the circumstance that you're going through right now. But to do that, you've got to have this confidence that David had. He said, when my enemies came to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. In other words, all they did was try, but they stumbled. David could have written this at many times, especially when he was being chased by Saul's army. But the bear, the lion, and the giant also sought to destroy him. And even before Saul did, there was enemies that was coming after him. We go through the story of him defeating the bear and the lion real quickly, like that's not a big deal. I mean, I used to go camping sometimes with Boy Scout trips and all those things, and it's amazing that we're all still alive from some of those trips, the things we did to each other. I had a scoutmaster took me snipe hunting. Anybody been snipe hunting? I hear there's different versions of snipe hunting. But they said, Clint, tonight's your night to catch a snipe. And I'm like, I don't know what a snipe is, but boy, I want one. Mainly I was trying to impress all the guys, and like, I'm a snipe hunter. Long story short, they take me out in the middle of the woods with a bag and just a bag. That was before cell phone days. They said, now we've got to take the light from you because snipes won't come to light. They just come to the noise of a paper bag in the middle of the woods. And I was dumb enough to stay there. And so here I am. And all of a sudden I started realizing that everybody's left me. And I'm in the middle of the woods with a paper bag looking for a snipe. And all of a sudden I started thinking, Clint, you are dumb. There's no snipes. That's why you've never heard of a snipe. That's why they couldn't tell you what a snipe looked like. And all of a sudden fear come over me. You're out here all by yourself, buddy. And I just about beat them back to camp that night when all of a sudden fear overcome me. I remember that fear that set in my heart. There are those of you that you're fighting some things that just seem small. It just seems like it's just a little snipe hunt, and it's just a little war that you're in. But all of a sudden, in the midst of that, fear will surround you and overcome you. And you go, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so you start fighting and you start reacting. You start trying to handle it on your own. But what we need to do is we need to do what I did, and we need to run back to the camp where the help was. And when I got there, you know how that went. They laughed at me, called me names, but I didn't care. I was at camp, and I was safe and secure. On other occasions, David, it was the Philistines or some other group that tried to kill him. David knew danger many times, totally surrounded by enemies. But he also knew salvation many times. He said, my enemies stumbled. David watched God defeat his enemies, and it was God's salvation that brought him through. There are those of you that have testimonies of God bringing you through some of your toughest circumstances in life. God's salvation is not just to save your soul, but God's salvation is to save you from the things that you go through in life that Satan wants to destroy you with and defeat you with, but you come through on the other side and you have to say, God brought me through that. God helped me overcome that, because God is God even over our enemies. He can frustrate the plans of the wicked who seek our destruction. And there's nothing greater than when that happens. Look at verses 4 and 5. This was David's key. Verse 4 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, I love this. That's why I just wanted to read it directly from the word tonight. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up on a rock. A rock represents a firm foundation. It's not something that's going to slip, slide away. But God wants to bring you out of that, and he wants to set you up on a rock. and let it be a firm foundation that you stand upon. So when the tough times come, look at what David said. He didn't look at the odds that were against him, but he looked to God. So many times we look at the odds that are against us, the odds that are against our marriage, making it through an affair, the odds of us dabbling in drugs, and then drugs overtaking us, even prescription drugs. I've watched people get trapped by those. It was just one pill at first, and it took some pain away. And then it became a few more pills until now you become addicted to that. And it becomes something that pulls you away from that for a little while. Talked to a man not too long ago that he was got to start drinking alcohol. And at first it was just a little bit. And he thought, I've got it all under control. Everything's going to be okay. But then we watched as that alcohol started coming to his life stronger, and he needed more of it. And he started being pulled away from the presence of God. And he would try to overcome that, but he would look at the odds and say, well, it's entrapping me, and I can't overcome this. And instead of looking to God, he started looking at the odds that it's got me, it's wrapping me up. Started losing jobs, and he couldn't take care of his family anymore until finally he hits rock bottom. David said, the key to all of this is, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David's key and ours is for God's house to be able for us to say one thing about God's house. One thing I desire. I'm so glad that you desired to be in the house of God tonight. It's a great thing that you did, but just coming to his house is not going to help you overcome your enemies and the things that come against you in your mental state. Our emotions are wearing some of us out. There are those of you here tonight, you would never find yourself in a bar. You would never find yourself in a fair, but your emotion state, your emotional being is wearing you out. You've laid in bed at night and you've shed tears over the things that are going on in your family. And you said, if I've just had somebody to talk to, if I had just had somebody I could go to, I want to tell you there is a God that you can go to that will be the difference and the rock that you can stand upon. We don't utilize the power of the word that we have. This book needs to become more than just something you go, well, it was good and it helped save me. But this book needs to become a rock in your life. On the way over here, I listened to the Psalm 27. I played it over and over again driving in my car. I said, God, I want this word, I want this chapter to get into my life, because there's things and challenges and all this. I don't want the word to just be something that I read at church before the preacher preaches on Sunday morning and Wednesday, but I want this word to get rooted down in my heart so when tough times come, I can begin to quote those scriptures. And I may not even quote them right and word for word, but that doesn't matter. You get the essence of it, and the Satan knows where that's coming from, and he knows he's got to back up and leave you alone because you're using the word against him, and you're looking to God instead of looking to the odds. But it's great to come to his house and get with brothers and sisters that will lift you up. The key to finding God's salvation is to seek him with our whole heart, to be single-minded. David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord, and I want to inquire in his temple. There are four key words here that you need to look at. First of all is seek. You've got to seek after God. Then you've got to dwell. Then you've got to behold, and then you've got to inquire. And I'm not talking about the National Enquirer either here. You got to inquire about God. Too often we inquire without seeking and dwelling and beholding the beauty of God and the glory of God. You remember the first time you got filled with the Spirit in your life? What a feeling. I was 9 years old. I could take you to the place in Buna, just about the location. There's a new church there, but I can take you to the spot where my heart and my life was filled with the Spirit of God. As a 9-year-old boy, I'll never forget that experience that I found, and I began to dwell, and I began to behold, and I began to inquire, and God filled my life. We want God's answers, but not God Himself. We want God to just change things, but we don't want God to change us. Answers come after we have fellowshipped with Him. He wants us to want Him, not just answers. Verse 6. This is David's promotion that he's talking about here. I want you to look at verse 6. He said, "And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Dude, it doesn't matter if you're on key or off key. It does if you're up here. But out there, let it rip. Sing some praises unto the Lord. Get you some songs on your phone. And when you're in the car or the truck all by yourself, for sure nobody cares there how it sounds. I rewrite songs sometimes. My wife laughs at me. I sing loud. I can't help it. I just like to sing loud. And everybody sings wrong but me sometimes. And I'll just go off on my own little tangent. And my wife, I'll feel her bump me. And I know that means I'm not right right there. But there's a song in my heart. There's a song in my life. And he said, "I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord." God's presence is a secret, solid place that you must have in your life. David understood promotion. Psalm 75 said, "Promotion comes from God." There's no promotion in the Spirit like God's promotion. There's no promotion when God leads you into things to do. Nobody can promote you more than God can. And let me tell you, if you start seeking God, you want to be used in His kingdom, you want to be used in the church, you start praying at home and seeking God at home, and you get so full of the Spirit when you come out of there that people know you've been with God, you won't have to worry about a position in the church anymore. They'll start things happening in your life because of the presence of God that's in your life. The other day, I was in Liberty, and I was praying. I'm like, "God, I want to find a place where I can go and sit down and talk to people about You. Show me a place." You know, and I had in mind like at the local restaurant where I could walk in and I would minister to people so much, and they're like, "Man, You blessed me so much, I want to buy Your meal today." But God doesn't always do it that way. I was walking into Walmart, the saving place, and all of a sudden I looked, and there's a smoking section with about 20 people sitting out there. And I noticed that section, every time I went to Walmart, there's about 20 or 30 people just sitting there talking. And God said, "There's your spot, buddy. You want a plot where they're just sitting around talking, looking for somebody to talk?" So all this just happened this past week. And so that's going to be my new place that I'm going to go. And my wife said, "I can't do it," but I said, "I'm going to buy me a bunch of cigarette lighters or something. And I'm going to take cigarette, I want them to feel like I can be there. I'm not going to smoke, but I'm going to buy them, you know. Some of you need to start praying, God, show me a place where I can go witness to somebody. Show me a place where I can be promoted in the spirit realm and I can do things for you, Jesus. At each step in David's life, he was promoted from a shepherd boy to a lion, to a bear killer, to a giant killer, to king's minstrel, to warrior, to shepherd king. And at each step, there was a crisis in his life. And then there was God's salvation. David's praise was not routine. I love this about David. Praise was not a routine thing for him. But it was something that he did out of his heart and exuberantly praised God. He did it every day, so it seemed like it was routine, but to him it was not a routine thing because he knew it came from God. David's praise was proportionate to his awareness that God had delivered him from certain destruction. I ask you tonight, is your praise proportionate to what God has done for you? Or is your praise just something you do? If they sing the right song today, then I'll just get with it. No, your praise needs to be something you do all the time. It's kind of like me. I was driving. I had a little Nissan King cab one time. Little green Nissan. And I don't know who I bought it from, but it had those lights underneath the hood. It had a good sound system. It was kicking, man. It was, you know, I remember back in the day when I wanted a sound system. Now I just want one that works. You know, I'd spend more on the sound system years ago than I would my car. But that didn't matter. But this one day I was driving to work there in Sherman, Texas. And I was driving along and I was listening to Byron Cage. And I was singing, "The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here." And that little king cab was just boom, boom, boom. I don't know if I was on key or not, but I know I was singing. Presence of the Lord is here. I love that part. You know, I just crank it up. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. And man, I could just get into that song. And all of a sudden, I'm driving along, and about that time, a guy runs a stop sign and nails me in the side. And I started singing, "Thankful that the Lord was here. Thankful that the Lord was here." To be honest, I was glad at that moment, not that I'm a hero and I always do, but I was glad I was not singing, "I got friends in low places." I'm meddling now, huh? All of us. I got out. I walked away. And the cop come over there, totaled my little truck. And the cop said, "Who was driving this car?" I said, "I was." He said, "No, you're not the one that drove this car." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You shouldn't be walking around like this." I said, "The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here." He said, "What?" I said, "Police officer, that's what I was singing when I got hit." And he said, "Well, all I can tell you is it's a good thing you were singing that." There's some of you, maybe you've never heard that song before, but you need to get that song in your heart when you start going through some things and certain destruction starts coming after you. You're on your job and your boss or your microphone won't stay on your ear. And you're going to work and the boss is wearing you out. Your coworkers are wearing you out. And you say, "Oh, I can't sing that," but you can hum it. You can go, I said, "What are you singing?" "Oh, you wouldn't understand it. You wouldn't know." But you know what you're doing? You're building some praise in your heart. You're building a place for God's presence in your life. Because you're determined that you're not going to let Satan and all the things that he comes against you with. And people, he uses people. In fact, he uses some that you live with. In fact, he uses some that you're sitting beside right now. If they let themselves be used. Or even he just brings disunity in houses. I got two teenagers and a wife. It's not heaven on earth all the time. Come on. I got two females. Guys come around, and I know what those suckers are thinking. Because I was a teenager once. And it's different on this side of the equation, believe me. I want to walk in, those guys say, the presence of the Lord is here, and I'm here too. But you need to get that song in your heart. You need to wake up in the morning. You need to wake your kids up in the morning singing, the presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. Your praise needs to be proportionate to your awareness that God has delivered you from so many things in your life. Got to move on. Psalm 7 through verse 10 here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, some of you have experienced that. Your family has abandoned you. You never thought that would happen. And it's one of the hardest things to deal with when you're abandoned by family. David talked about it here. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Promotion in crisis comes from God. David said on several occasions, I cried unto the Lord. Hear me when I cry. David's prayer was not routine. When's the last time some of you in prayer with a heartfelt and passion begin to cry out to God, God, hear my cry today, Jesus. God, I need you today. There's just something about letting your heart open up. We want to just act like everything's good, but there's something, man, when I do that right there, it just feels good. God, I need you today. I'm dependent on you, Jesus. I've got my bills due. I've got this going on in my life, God. I've got this battle. I've got this thing going on. God, I need you today. And let me tell you, there's nothing that's going to get God's attention anymore than a heart that's crying out to him in sincerity. Because God can tell when that heart is sincere. The word mercy in this text means to show kindness to an inferior. He looked up to God, knowing that only the mercy of a loving God would save him. It's important to note also that God prompted David to pray. Let me tell you, when you feel a prompt of God, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, don't go, I wonder if that's the devil. Or is that God? I don't know. Satan is never going to prompt you to pray. You get a praise going on in your heart, and you're like, I don't know if that's God. I don't know if I should let that out. I don't know. It's God. Satan is going to only try to destroy you and defeat you. He's never going to get you to pray for somebody. If you feel like texting somebody an encouraging word or to tell them that you're praying for them, I want to tell you, never go, I just don't know if that's God or not. That could be the enemy. No, it's God. And Ken Hollingsworth, is he here tonight? Got the eyes. Ken Hollingsworth is one that ministers to me. He always sends a message just right in my life. He's done that more than once. He sends me a message. I've received messages and texts from other people. Nowadays, you only have to call them up, send them a text, and say, today, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. You don't know what that person's fighting, and God may have put them on your mind. And you could be like David, but and there could be a promotion in the crisis that they're battling right there. And just tell somebody, they may show up at church and just tell them, you look good today. It may be a long time since somebody's told them they look good. Of course, make sure it's for the right reason, if you know what I mean. Because there's nothing, I mean, I know, you know, they say a guy, when he gets older, my daughter calls, I have a dead body now. D-A-D, a daddy body. That means a gut. I told her one day, I said, I need to get rid of that. She said, it's all right, you're a daddy. I'm like, yeah, but I like to be a skinny daddy, you know? But my wife can look at me sometimes and go, woo, you look good tonight. It don't matter who thinks what after that. It doesn't matter anymore. She said, I look good tonight. I start strutting after that, man. And I know what y'all are thinking. Boy, poor her. That's all right. She's the one that I got to make happy. She said, you look handsome. Sometimes I just hang around wanting her to say it. She doesn't follow the leading of the Holy Ghost all the time. I've got to tell her the same thing too. Got to encourage. And it's the same thing in the spirit world. We got to encourage each other. We got to lift each other up. David said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your first, your face I shall seek. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray, it is wise to respond to that. The scriptures say that we have not because we ask not. I loved it. Not too long ago, Blair found a prayer list that we had made. It's good to make prayer lists with your family. Because if you're not careful, you forget things that you prayed about. And at this specific time, we wrote down some specific things that we wanted to pray about. I asked both girls, I said, tell me some things that you want to see happen in your life. And we made a list. And I can still remember seeing her from the balcony of the second floor there. She leaned over and said, Dad, guess what? She said, I found a prayer list that I made a while back. And she said, 8 of the 10 things have been answered on this list. And there was such an excitement in her heart. And so, we have not because we ask not. Some of you need to go home tonight. You've just been griping and complaining about life, but you need to go make a list and start asking God for some things in your life. God wants to save us, and He will if we call on Him and set our face to seek Him. In fact, prayer is not just seeking answers, but it's seeking God. And when we find His presence, we will find His answers. When you get in the presence of God, it's amazing. Answers start coming to your mind. I would also remind us that David was not seeking revenge of his enemies. He was seeking God. His presence belongs to us if we let revenge belong to Him. Verses 11 and 12. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Heartfelt prayer touches God. Anything less is inadequate. Prayer from your heart. Many want to see God's work, but are not zealous for God's ways. Great leaders and great Christians know God's ways. David prayed, he said, lead me in a plain path. A plain path is a level, straight, simple, and progresses towards God's purpose. It is a straightforward path. in the book Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim comes to a place on the path that goes between two lines. His companion Christian points out that the lines on either side of them are chained and can only go so far. So I want you to picture this in your mind. He's walking this path. On each side is a lion that's chained. If he and Pilgrim stay on the path, the lions cannot get to him and destroy him. This is true of life. There are enemies on either side of us. If we stray to the right, the lion that was not supposed to be able to get to us now can get to us because we strayed off of the right path. Or if we stray to the right, there's a lion there that he was on a chain and he couldn't get you because God won't let him devour you if you don't want to. He gives you the choice. As long as you stay on that path, the enemy cannot get to you because God's going to protect you. But there's many bones that lie just off the path. There is a safety in the plain, level, and straight path. I read about a man who was complaining to his father about enemies who seemed to want his destruction. His father replied, "Son, thank God for your enemies. They will cause you to seek God far more than your friends ever will." Quit fighting against everything that comes into your life and start seeking God in the midst of that. You say, "Well, you know, you haven't been through the things I've been through." I've been through some things in life. Most of you know I've been through cancer, had radiation treatments. I know what it's like to get a welcome packet from MD Anderson. I know those things. It's tough to go on short-term disability. I never thought I would. Resign my church in Sherman. Most of you know the story. Wife and I got tired. The enemy started coming against our minds and just wearied us. We just got so tired and we got so tired of the fight. We left there, moved to the Woodlands, got a job with Liberty Mutual. Not that that's a bad thing, but I just had to step away from my calling as a pastor for a little while there. But I would preach at this church many times. And through those years, 5.5 years of Liberty Mutual selling insurance, I would tell people, they'd say, "What you're doing?" I said, "I'm like a somebody that used to be a starting quarterback, but I'm not a starting quarterback right now, but I'm keeping myself in shape." It was easy to want to just quit everything, you know, and say, "Well, I'm just going to do this." And there was plenty of opportunities to come there from work. But I just stayed on that path. There were different people. Brother Gary was one of them. I would come here and it's like, he said, "Man, I just feel like telling you, something, God's got something planned for you." And to be honest, there was times I'd go, "Yeah, right. I don't see it happening." And then different times I would get messages from people in this very church that God's got something for you. I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's about to come. And I wasn't even really seeking it, but I was keeping myself on a path. I was keeping myself in line with God. And I was like, "God, if you don't ever have anything else for me, then I'll keep doing this." I was taking care of my family. We were doing good. Things were going well. But about 2 years ago, my wife and I started praying. And we're like, "God, we don't know. We're feeling a transition come in our lives. We don't know what's going on." But we said, "Now, God, if you've got something for us, we want it to come to us this time." Before, when I would pastor, I would hear of a church that was open. I would go there, put my name in, put my resume in. I would try out. They call it try out against the other preachers. and you hoped you preached better than him those 3 weekends. You know, it was tough, man. If he had a good Sunday, you were in bad shape. You know, you better have a good Sunday. But this time we're like, God, if you have something for us, we want to come to us this time. And we started praying that just all by ourselves. Didn't share that with anybody. We didn't let the enemy get us. We didn't let the enemy destroy us. We just stayed faithful. And let God bring promotion in our lives. About 14 months ago, or no, it was a few more months than that, because we went through a few months of trying to figure out what it was on it. I got a call from a guy, and he said, "Hey, I want to meet you today for dinner." And I said, "No, man, we're unavailable. We can't meet today." And he said, "All right, let's meet tomorrow night." Well, when he said that, I knew something's up. He's like really wanting to meet with me. It wasn't, we met up before and we just eat and have a good time, but it was like something's up. Oh, I'll just keep skipping through the story. Little did we know, but that night he said, "You know, I'm a campus pastor at Grace Church. We got 4 campuses. And said, "We are looking for a campus pastor for the Liberty Grace Church. And your name has been on our minds for about 6 months. Little did I know, God was preparing my wife and I to go to Liberty and to be campus pastor there. We walked into a church, because I always told God we had just remodeled our church in Sherman when we left there. And it was nice and it was beautiful. And I'm like, God, my wife and I have done that twice. We've moved in the back of churches. Both times my wife said, "Where are we going to live?" I'm like, "I don't know where we're going to live, babe." But they've got a couple Sunday school rooms. I said, "Just think, you've got a big closet. It's a walk-in closet. But on Sundays, you got to pull your stuff out of there because they got to use that for the kids." Then when we moved to Sherman, it started all over again. She's like, "Where are we going to live?" "I don't know, but I'm getting my mom and dad to bring their RV up." And we moved in an RV and set it outside the church. And then we grew the church, and God put us in a nice, beautiful home. And then we left all that again, and I started praying. I was like, "God, if you've got something for us, then this time I don't want to have to do that startup. We've done that twice. And really, God, I don't want to put my wife through that again." This time we were able to walk into a church where it was a healthy church. There's leadership team. There's kids ministry going on. There's youth ministry going on. I'm under Pastor Brett and Scott Jones, 2 senior pastors. It's great. It's incredible. And everybody says, "Oh, look at it. That's great." But they didn't know the 5.5 years that I was there, not in the ministry full time, but I just stayed faithful to God. There was days you just want to throw it in. So I know what David's talking about here in verse 13. He said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Man, it's so tough to wait on the Lord. "Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Love those verses from David right there. David said, "I have fainted. I would have fainted unless I had believed." Many have fainted because they failed to believe. Our society as a whole is very prosperous, yet almost always depressed. Even multitudes of Christians suffer depression because of stress and disillusionment. Doubt and fear dog our steps. We work hard to secure rather than to trust in God. We battle situations, circumstances. We walk crooked paths and we find little rest. We trust in people who let us down, ourselves, only to become weak. David's advice would be to believe what God has said and seek him rather than fight our own battles. Let me musicians can come here tonight. I noticed that David believed that God is good, and that we could see his goodness in this life in the land of the living. Nobody wants to go to heaven more than I do. Heaven's going to be wonderful. We like to sing songs, "Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. I've got grandparents that have gone on. I want to rejoice with them. I've got family members that have gone on. But I'm not there yet." And I believe some way God wants us to have some joy and some peace in the land of the living. And you and I can have that in our lives. David would say, "Wait on the Lord." The word "wait" means bound together. Don't move without God. Move with God or don't move at all. David advises one more thing. He said, "Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart." Some of your hearts are weak tonight, and I want to speak some courage into you. I want to speak some spirit into your life, some grit and some fire back in your soul. For courage to work, you've got to exercise your courage. Even if you only have a little, keep believing God. And he will add his courage to you. He will encourage your heart because God is an encourager. If you don't feel his encouragement in your life, you've got the wrong view of God going on right now. God has a time to deliver you if you'll wait for him, or wait for it in faith. David was a victorious follower of God. He didn't always do the right thing, but you know what? He knew where to go when trouble came. Do I always do the right thing? Not hardly. I can give you three people that can really verify that. My wife and my two daughters, they live with me. They know me better than everybody. There was days when I was going through that, and then when I was fighting my cancer, and I'd be sitting there at night, and I would let tears flow, and I'm like, "God, what am I doing fighting cancer, God? I'm not supposed to have cancer. I'm not supposed to be going through these trials and tests right now." You have no idea what it's like to tell your daughters you have cancer and your daughters to look at you and go, "Dad, are you going to die?" And I didn't have the answer to that, but I knew where to go. And so I'd go to my Heavenly Father and I'm like, "God, I don't know what to tell them. You can, God. You can help me. And I'm here. All these years later, now I'm back in pastoral role. I'm cancer free. In fact, MD Anderson gave me a certificate, man. He said, "You're now in the survivorship club." That's not the one you want to be in. It's kind of like snipe hunting. I never wanted, when I was growing up, "What do you want to do when you get older?" "I want a MD Anderson Survivorship Club certificate." It's not what you dream of. But I've got one. I made it. I made it through. Some of you are going to go through some times that you don't know what to do. But I want to tell you, there's a God you can go to. There's a God you can run to. There's a God you can trust in. You need to get this book out. I've started doing it at home. When I'm reading the Word now, I've got all the electronics, man. Max making a killing out of us. You know, Apple. I got every Apple product they've got. But here lately, I went and I pulled the Bible off the shelf. And it's just something about reading from here. It's just different. I'm just telling you, it's different. Marking it. Highlighting it. Getting the word in your life. You don't have to say, in fact, I tell people, I'd rather you read one verse 10 times and get that in your heart than to read 5 chapters and not remember one verse you just read. It's not about how many chapters you're reading. It's about what you're getting in your heart. So that's what David had. He had the word in his heart. Let's stand together tonight. My prayer for you tonight is that whatever your battle is, you will know His salvation. Amen. I want you to just, if you just want that, I want you to step out for just about 2 or 3 minutes. I want you to step toward the front, and I want you to come here saying, God, I want to become fresh in Your word. I want to become fresh in Your encouragement. I want to become fresh with just waiting on You, God. I'm not going to trust in man. I'm going to get this song in my heart that says the presence of the Lord is here. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to build You a house. I'm going to build something for You, Jesus. I'm going to trust in You, Jesus. I don't care what man says. I don't care what a doctor says. I don't care what a lawyer says. I don't care what a judge says. I know what You can say over my life, God. And the promotion that You can give me, God, is greater than any promotion in the world. Amen. Let's just pray that for just a minute. Just seek Him. Seek His face right now. Lord, we seek.